The crowd goes wild.
Alrighty then.
From deep inside the squared circle.
Oh, now this is getting ridiculous.
It's the main event.
Holy zombie Jesus.
Here's Scott Steele.
And that indeed means that the revolution has begun. Welcome back to the battlefield of professional wrestling knowledge and news. You know me. You know my name. You know my voice. Welcome back to the main event here on The Point, your home for everything pop culture. I am your soothsayer, Scott Steele. Welcome back. It's good to be back in the saddle. The rebirth of The Point happened earlier this week. And now, I have a rebirth. The brand new main event. And obviously playing the theme of the revolutionary of WWE right now. Of course, that being co-WWE champion CM Punk. More on him in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about the new main event. Not really new, but there are some adjustments. First off, when we last were on the air, the show used to be 90 minutes. We have pared it back down to an hour. When I first launched this show in October of 2009, it was an hour. And then I had my awesome co-host join me, and that is, of course, Johnny Reckless. And our two egos couldn't handle being on the show at the same time for an hour. So the boss gave us an extra 30 minutes. We went to 90 minutes, and we had a great run. Things have changed. Of course, we went through some technical issues with the radio station and some other things, but we are back. And Johnny Reckless took a sabbatical from the broadcast business, but I am hoping that my dear compadre and enforcer will return to the main event soon. He is a great co-host, one of my dearest friends, and a wealth of wrestling knowledge, just like myself. Har, har, har. But the new show, again, will consist of current wrestling news, notes, and stories. We used to do a show. We always did new wrestling news back in the day. This time, however, we're going to stick to new stuff. I used to do a monthly. We used to do a monthly show, Johnny and I, called The Vintage Vault. We are not going to do that. I've got a great place for you to go to listen to old school wrestling pay-per-view reviews and stories, and I'll get to that at the end of the broadcast. But here on the new main event, we are going to stick to the new stuff, and we got a lot of stuff to cover because it's actually good timing on the part of the boss and myself to be back in the saddle, so to speak, here on the main event, because WWE has definitely stepped up to the mic and stepped up to the plate and come up with a pretty damn good product. If we were talking earlier in the year when we were airing some repeats, we had a kind of a sabbatical from fresh episodes of the main event. WWE was actually kind of in the tank, if you will. WrestleMania had happened in March in Atlanta. It was a decent show. It wasn't great. It had its moments. My guy, Triple H, almost broke the streak. But as a whole, I thought the show was a little herky-jerky, and that's fine. And really, the product was not terrible, but it wasn't really great either. And now, after what happened to a guy by the name of CM Punk in the summertime, things have definitely changed, and for the better. The product is now red hot. We have an awesome storyline on Raw. We have some great things going on SmackDown. And the product as a whole now for the rest of this year looks like it could be pretty good. And a good week for us to bring back the main event because This is a pay-per-view week. We're in a go-home week. This coming Sunday is the biggest show of the summer. It's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, and that is, of course, SummerSlam, which will emanate from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Third straight year that SummerSlam's actually in L.A. It's almost like the home base now for SummerSlam. Let's turn back the clock a bit. But before we do that, though, I want to go over the rest of the show tonight. We are going to cover Raw. I'll give you a kind of a recap of what happened on Raw. Now, the premiere of this show is on Thursdays at 8, which is, of course, the night before the Friday Night SmackDown show comes on Sci-Fi. But, of course, for those that know, of course, SmackDown is taped on Tuesday nights, and I record the show on Wednesdays, or Tuesdays or Wednesdays, depending. So I'll already have the spoilers. Now, if you don't want to be spoiled, you might want to turn the show. I hate saying that, but I'm just warning you that there will be SmackDown spoilers. That all depends on when you watch the show. If you watch it after Friday, then you have no problems. You'll already know what's going on. But we will do the SmackDown spoilers as well. And then we'll, of course, get into some news and notes. And we're also going to get some news from my friends at the great site, WWEDVDnews.com, to let you know on all the great DVDs that are coming out in the coming months. And there's two very, very anticipated DVD compilations that will be coming out this fall. One of them, they actually kind of coincide, and I'll explain why a little bit later on, but that is exactly what these two DVDs, they kind of go hand in hand. But before we go there, let us start the show with Raw this past Monday night. Now, I'm talking about CM Punk and what he's done the last month. Of course, he cut that scathing promo. It was a shoot promo. He was ripping guys in the back. He was saying things about Triple H's fact that he's married to Stephanie and blah, blah, blah. And he was gotten red hot. And, of course, his contract was up the night of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which was on July 17th, ironically, in Chicago, which is, of course, hometown of CM Punk. So that night, of course, everything happened. Vince McMahon, who was the COO of the company, was promised by John Cena he would retain the title in the title match with Punk at the pay-per-view, or else. Well, John Cena had put CM Punk in the STF. Vince McMahon comes running down with his new lackey, John Laurinaitis, which is the modern-day version of Patterson and Briscoe. And he tried to ring the bell early, a.k.a. Brett to Sean to Brett at the 97 Survivor Series. Well, Cena let go of the move, looked at Vince and said, no way, that's not how this is going down. I'm not going to be a patsy. I'm not going to be hated by the world for this. Well, Cena turned around, walked into a go-to-sleep, and CM Punk was your WWE champion on the night he was supposed to leave the company. That, of course, led to a lot of changes. Two weeks later, Vince McMahon was relieved of his duties as COO of WWE. Of course, that's in storyline. Obviously, Vince isn't. Vince is still the boss. We all know that. But there's a new day-to-day boss in town, and boy, was I ecstatic. Because for all you older Main Event fans, that guy is the King of Kings, or the KOK, as I call him, Triple H. He's been calling the shots, and everybody seems to be happy with that. Brock back JR. Jim Ross is now part of a three-man team on Raw now, announced team with Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole. But he has a problem. See, what happened was, after CM Punk left the company with the WWE title, they decided to just get rid of that and now had a tournament to decide a new WWE champion. The tournament was won by Rey Mysterio, and then Rey would end up defending and losing the title to John Cena, who was not able to get a rematch with CM Punk for his title because Punk left the company. So, Cena faced Rey, won, and that night after he won the tournament, out came CM Punk to the theme that you heard earlier, and that was Cult of Personality, the awesome early 90s song by In Living Color. Living Color. I knew I was going to do that. I did that on my other show, too. It's Living Color, not In Living Color. Or is it? Now I'm confused. No, it's Living Color. It's not In Living Color. In Living Color is the show that used to have Jim Carrey on it. Anyway, so now we have a conundrum. We have two WWE champions. Well, last week on Raw, COO Triple H decided there would be a unification match at SummerSlam, WWE champion CM Punk versus WWE champion John Cena. So this past week on Raw, Triple H came out to talk about this match and its ramifications, and he kind of threw a wrench in the mix. Let's get a listen now to Monday night, Triple H's opening promo.
In just 6 nights, it will be one of the most historic nights ever in the WWE. It's going to be one of those nights where the entire face, the entire landscape of this business changes. It will be the WWE champion, John Cena. Against the WWE champion, CM Punk. Now change has been a big thing around here lately, right? Let's face it, in the last month, we've gone from no WWE champion and Vince McMahon being firmly in charge to me being in charge and there being two WWE champions. A situation that I will rectify this Sunday in that very match. It will be one match. There will be one undisputed winner and one undisputed WWE champion. But here's the tricky part, the undisputed part. That's where my job comes in as COO. Because let's face it, it's the WWE, right? And just about anything can happen. So how do you determine that there will be one undisputed champion? You empower one man. You empower somebody to be the answer. You empower somebody who won't be pushed around, who won't be intimidated. You empower somebody whose authority will be not only respected, but whose authority will be absolute. I've found that man. That man is larger than life. That man casts a shadow not only over John Cena and CM Punk, but as of right now, that man casts a shadow over the entire WWE. That man is me.
So you know what that means. Triple H has made himself the special guest referee for the WWE Championship match at SummerSlam between CM Punk and John Cena. Now, when I first heard that, I got a little nervous because I really don't want Triple H to really get his hands too much into this. He's the only man he can trust right now, he said. So he will be the special referee at SummerSlam. With that, out came one half of the main event at SummerSlam, and that was WWE Champion John Cena, who didn't really look that thrilled that Triple H was going to be the special ref at WrestleMania at SummerSlam. Now, Michael Cole kept saying that it's not a smart move. Triple H has limited, if any, refereeing experience. To be honest with you, I can't remember the last time Triple H was a guest referee in anything. Maybe Michael Cole has a point. But anyway, Cena came out, they had words, and Cena actually wrestled on Monday night. In fact, both competitors, CM Punk, wrestled later in the evening. And I got an interesting theory about that, about his match. Anyway, Cena came out and faced Jack Swagger, and not a bad match. Cena ended up, of course, winning with the five-knuckle shuffle and the attitude adjustment, otherwise known as the FU. But remember, this is the new WWE where we can't use vulgarities. Johnny Reckless loved that. So John Cena got the win in his match. Later on in the night, of course, and we'll get to some comments and some audio from that, the WWE Championship match contract signing would be at the end of the evening. Come back from break. Scott Stanford, who's that hump that does the interviews in the back, was interviewing, he was in the ring, and then all of a sudden, Ricardo Rodriguez, a.k.a. Toad Boy, introduces Alberto Del Rio. He talks about how Punk ran from him at Money in the Bank, calls him a coward. He's going to show Punk what will happen. Punk was actually facing Alberto Del Rio on Monday night. Which is interesting because Punk's the heel, right? So why is he facing another heel? Cena faced a heel, Jack Swagger. Why didn't Punk face a face? John Morrison. I mean, Morrison wrestled later in the evening. Had to have been a bevy of baby faces backstage. Anybody, Evan Bourne, who knows? Anybody that Punk could have faced. He's the heel, right? Interesting. We go to commercial. We come back. Really good match in a feud that looks like it's, well, it wasn't really a match. Well, I guess it was supposed to be a match. The Miz taking on Rey Mysterio, the former WWE champion. Well, what happened was Miz jumped Rey from behind, threw him into the little WWE logo there, that metal thing, and kicked the crap out of him at the top of the ramp, and then he came down to the ring. Miz ended up having another opponent. That other opponent was Kofi Kingston. Miz got the win anyway with a skull-crushing finale, which was blocked, but then Kofi tried to counter it, and he hit it again, and the Miz won his match. But I have a feeling we are going towards a Rey Mysterio-Miz match this Sunday at SummerSlam. We'll get the full card in a little bit. Josh Matthews then interviewed CM Punk backstage. Punk says Triple H has a bigger ego than his father-in-law. Punk says Triple H needs the spotlight, which is why he put himself as the special referee. Punk says what's good for business is he beating Cena. Punk says he's not going to go kick Alberto Del Rio's teeth down his throat, and we go to commercial as Punk goes off to the ring. Of course, Alberto Del Rio comes in a 2010 Audi, which kind of is a step down. A guy drives in Alfa Romeos and Bentleys and other $150,000 cars, unless an Audi is that expensive. I don't know. Anyway, Punk comes out with obviously a big pop because guys dig him, man. And he's wrestling a heel. Anyway, eventually Del Rio tries to go for the armbar, but Punk blocks it, hits the go to sleep, and Punk gets the win. We go to break, we come back, and we have Beth Phoenix. Now, last week on Raw, Beth Phoenix returned heel. She won a Battle Royal to become the number one contender for the Divas Championship, which is that cheesy-looking Bratz pink belt. Kelly Kelly, who is the champion and a good guy, a good girl, was sitting at the announce table when, out of nowhere, she comes up to the ring to congratulate her friend Beth Phoenix. Beth Phoenix beats the crap out of her and says, I'm going to take what I want back. So Beth Phoenix came in, beat the crap out of Eve Torres on Monday night on Raw to get her motivation, get her momentum continuing. After the match, Beth took the mic. She's sick of divas like Eve and Kelly Kelly making a mockery of the division, which is kind of sad because we all agree with that. Beth says, no more booty popping, no more splits, and no more stink faces. Beth leaves the ring but stops and turns around to ask Eve a question. Divas champion Kelly Kelly runs down the ramp and attacks Beth from behind, laying her out. Kelly tends to Eve in the ring as her music hits, and Beth stares on from the ramp. And I have nothing against Kelly Kelly whatsoever, but we all hope Beth Phoenix beats the crap out of her at SummerSlam. Next match, Monday night, pits the WWE United States champion, Dolph Ziggler, and his cougar, Vicky Guerrero, taking on Alex Riley, A-Rai. And there ends up being a DQ. Vicky enters the ring. She slaps Riley. Ref calls for the bell. Riley wins by DQ. Dolph gets in the ring, yells at Vicky for costing the match. Riley nails Dolph, knocking him into Vicky. They both go down. Riley leaves the ring laughing. Vicky and Dolph are yelling at each other. So we don't know what's going on there, but I'm assuming that at SummerSlam, Dolph Ziggler will defend the United States title against Alex Riley. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. R-Truth takes on John Morrison in a match. Of course, these two have had a feud building for a while. And, of course, Morrison was taken out by R-Truth and some time ago. Of course, it was a fake injury, so Morrison can tend to a real injury. R-Truth then, in the match with Morrison, wins and gets the win. And then we go to not really our main event, but we go to the main crux of the show, and that is, of course, the contract signing between John Cena and CM Punk for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. Now, we all know, historically, what happens with contract signings. They end up, they end badly. Usually end with a table flipping over. The first contract signing I remember in history, there's been a boatload, The first one I remember was actually at a pay-per-view. Well, not really pay-per-view. It was at a show that would end up becoming a pay-per-view. That was the very first Royal Rumble, January of 1988, up at the Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario. Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant had a contract signing for their big match at the main event. Primetime special that February, that following month, a couple weeks after that, actually, at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. And there's been plenty of contract signings since, and they've all usually ended with some kind of something bad happening in the end. So, this one probably was going to be no different. There have been plenty. Triple H has been in them. Steve Austin's been in them. Bret Hart's been in them. But there was a pretty, it was a pretty impressive promo. I mean, it was one of the longest, almost 20 minutes. And we're not going to go through the whole promo, but I just want to give you some highlights. I also want you to listen to what was going on in the promo, because CM Punk would end up playing a hilarious Facebook video entry by The Rock, who, of course, has already been slated to face John Cena at WrestleMania 28 next April down at Sun Life Financial Stadium in Miami, home of the Dolphins. Let's go now to the contract signing, which was the last segment of Raw this past Monday night.
And I'm on the set of, you know, maybe Conan O'Brien or something. I'm about to pitch a clip to my next big movie, and in that vein, I actually have a clip from a big-time movie star that is going to explain in so many words how I feel about John Cena. And no, that movie star isn't you in The Chaperone.
How was your movie, by the way? I missed it.
Mine went straight to DVD, just like yours. This is an actual movie star who is now going to explain how I feel.
Best thing I like about this is the fact that Triple H enjoys being chided now.
Dwayne.
Here's why John Cena is angry. It's the same process every single night in every arena around the world. You're in your locker room, John. You're getting dressed. You're putting on your little tough guy sneakers. You're sliding on your jean shorts. Yeah, your tough guy jean shorts that nobody's worn since 1992, but that's okay. No, but that's okay. But then, you're putting on your red wristbands, tough guy wristbands, and you put them up here. Oh, more strength and power you get. Yeah, like a superhero. And it says, you can't shame me. Yeah, yeah, you're looking like a bloated transvestite Wonder Woman, ready to fight crime. Pew, 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 pew. Then it gets even worse. Your music hits. You go running down. Yeah, running down like a lost snagglepuss. You slide in the ring. You throw your hat. You take off your shirt. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're full of energy and fire. And then your music stops. You hear something, John, that eats away at your very soul. Eats away at your very core. You hear this in every arena around the world. It kills you because you know you're going to hear it for life.
Let's go, Cena!
Cena sucks! You know why you go to your own hometown in Boston and they boo you? You know why? The Rock will tell you why. Because The Rock is a man. And The Rock represents a majority of men around the world. We don't like you. We don't respect you. Why? Because we, us men, see through bull. And we smell a phony punk a mile away.
That's actually very good. That was actually on Dwayne Johnson's Facebook page, and CM Punk played it in the promo. First off, if you've seen Rock lately, he's definitely on the juice, because he looks back to his 1999-2000 weight, which is like 280. But during those movies, you know, I did see the Tooth Fairy. No, not alone. I took my goddaughter. He was down to probably like 210. He was almost cruiserweight size. You look at him now, you see him from when he was on before WrestleMania and the couple times he's been on since, including that clip that he posted on his Facebook page. And he's back to like his, again, back to his 1999, 2000 weight, which was like 280. I don't know how he got that big that quick, but he's got to be taking a little HGH or something. I don't know. But you know what? I don't want to speculate. He might just be lifting, but I can't believe he's back to his original weight. Never thought he'd get back to that weight. So, and what's sad about the whole scenario with his promo is that he's pretty much saying what all of us men between the ages of 18 and 36 or older, as I am, want to say, which is, yeah, everyone thinks Cena's a phony. Cena is the modern day Hulk Hogan. Hold on to that thought, because Cena has his rebuttal. He was smiling at the camera, or at the screen, which is pretty funny. Punk looks stunned. Triple H is faceless. Here we go. Actually, I think Punk's going to say something first, but...
There's a lot wrong with that. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're saying Cena sucks. I think they're saying CM Punk. But you get the gist of it, right? And for everything that's right with that, thank you, Dwayne, for sending that from your Facebook, by the way. You're a phony, like he says, but the ironic thing is, while he's calling you a phony, he doesn't realize he's just as big a phony as you are. And maybe Dwayne's going to be upset now, but he seems to have a real problem with you. I don't want Dwayne to talk to me in a voice like this and say mean things about me, so maybe I'll just stop and I'll sign the contract.
No. See, this is what you were talking about, being entertaining. I like the stuff. You caught me off guard a little bit with the clip.
This promo's pretty good, I got to admit. Enjoy.
But listen to this. You have these people going crazy, and that's what I love to see. You see, a guy like that, a guy like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, this guy has done it all. Future WWE Hall of Famer, absolutely. Headlining WrestleMania, he's already on the bill. A bona fide Hollywood movie star. This guy is working on G.I. Joe right now as we speak. Congratulations, Dwayne. Here's the thing. With all the success he's had, there is no reason for a guy like that to be mad about anything, because I'm sure he's doing just fine. Yet he looks at me, and he just flips out. He gets so angry. And why? Because you heard him. Because I wear red. I'm some sort of transvestite Wonder Woman Fruity Pebble. Because my jorts are 20 years out of style. Because I tie my shoes wrong. Because of the way I wear my cap.
Okay. I didn't show the clip so you could go off on The Rock.
No. That's okay. Because you also have an issue with me. Now, you're not going to make fun of the way I dress. I believe you're above that. But your issues are those of the voiceless. You think maybe I'm a product of the system. Maybe.
I'll have to change clips here, but that was pretty impressive right there. But they are jorts, aren't they? I like that term. He used the term jorts. Of course, Cena changes his colors like every 4 months. He had purple for a while last year. He went to red. I think it was right before WrestleMania. Incidentally, there was on a couple of websites that stated that Cena's been getting requests on his Twitter because he wants to change his in-ring gear. So I think the whole dig on his jorts, actually, I don't want to say it was planned, but I think it was something in the works already. So I don't think that was planted. I don't think it was spontaneous. I think there was something to that. Anyway, let's get back to the promo.
Even though I know kids are watching, maybe I'm a little too PG for you. Maybe I'm just the modern day Hulk Hogan. I just took the hand away from my ear, brother, and put it in front of my face. This is where I hit you with some truth. The Rock is a star. And he has his millions. And I could try my hardest to talk trash with The Rock, to battle back and forth with The Rock. I will never win over the millions. And you, of course, you have your fans. And I know no matter what I do, I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through. I will never win over those people. You made an amazing comparison to me a few weeks back. You said I was the New York Yankees. I originally was offended by that, but the Yankees are the most loved and hated team in all of professional sport. Listen, I can just bring up the name and it gets a response. And you, in that comparison, were absolutely right. Listen, there are so many people that hate me. Just like The Rock said, when my music plays and I run down that ramp, it's like those Hall of Fame championship-riddled pinstripes taking the field. People just see it and they ooze hate. Those are not the people I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with those who wear their colors proud. I am concerned with the people who have been loyal and devoted to me and know no matter what, I will not give up on them through thick or thin, good, bad, or indifferent. Those are the people I care about. And sir, there is nothing phony about that. You speak your mind and you throw a lot of stones and you live in a glass house. Because you a few weeks ago wanted your own private jet. You wanted to be on the front of magazines. You wanted your own movies.
Anyway, he goes on and on and on and on and on. And then they end up flipping the table, a little push and shove and a couple punches thrown, and then we're off the air. So as expected, the contract signing ended with furniture being thrown. What I loved about that promo is that John Cena is settling into the hype and settling into the role that he is. He is the modern day Hulk Hogan. When I look at Hulk Hogan in 1986, I see John Cena now. And that's fine. That's okay. He acknowledges that he's got a fan base that loves him and a fan base probably slightly larger than his that hates him. But I like how he was saying, maybe I should change my work rate or let my heel persona show. That was very funny. Because that is what a lot of us, I'm not a Cena hater, but a lot of Cena haters want. They want him to not wrestle like Hulk Hogan, five moves of doom, which, by the way, is not a Hogan dig. That's a Bret Hart dig. Everybody said he had the five moves of doom. I thank Scott Keith for that one. In any event, the promo continued, and like I said, the table flipped and blah, 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 and there you go. So that match is now officially set. And there is your WWE Championship match, title versus title, undisputed. The Rock. Yeah, I'm dating myself 11 years. CM Punk and John Cena. Now, of course, at the time, there was only four matches on the card. The WWE Championship match, John Cena versus CM Punk. Kelly defending the Divas Championship against Beth Phoenix. And on SmackDown, there's two matches set. One of them is a no-holds-barred match for the World Heavyweight Championship between the champion Christian and the challenger Randy Orton. And again, it's a no-holds-barred match. The other match officially scheduled is Sheamus turning babyface, taking on Mark Henry, who's become kind of a bully, good heel again, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, Friday night on SmackDown, this is what you'll see. And again, if you don't want to hear the spoilers, you might want to turn the volume down and have the volume down for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes or so, and come back and I'll get into the news and the DVD notes. Triple H comes out. Another thing I love about him being COO, he actually shows up on both shows. Makes me want to watch on SmackDown again. Triple H opens the show and announces that Randy Orton will take on the Great Khali tonight on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan will face Alberto Del Rio. And Cody Rhodes will challenge Ezekiel Jackson for the Intercontinental Championship. Christian comes out and wants to talk to Triple H. Christian, of course, the World Heavyweight Champion. Christian threatens to sue Triple H if he doesn't change the SummerSlam match against Randy Orton. Triple H says Christian has no respect and will still face Orton on Sunday, and he'll be in action tonight. Christian ended up facing Sheamus. Christian pretty much didn't want to do anything. He walked off, stood at the ramp. The referee counted him out. Natalya and Beth Phoenix, who are now heels, Natalya turned heel on SmackDown, which is good because it seems like all the work rate women are on SmackDown now, or are heels. They took on AJ Lee and Caitlyn, both from that god-awful, hideous women's NXT show. Face pop, by the way, for Beth and Natalya, according to the girl Melody, who wrote the SmackDown spoilers for LordsOfPain.net. Beth pinned AJ while Natalya put Caitlyn in the sharpshooter. Then there was a long backstage segment where Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes argued with Teddy Long, Zack Ryder, and Oksana, who's back. Ugh! For those that don't know, Oksana was that awful Russian girl that was on NXT as well. She had the whole thing, marrying Goldust to stay in this country and other sordid nonsense. Sin Cara beat Tyson Kidd. Pretty good match, apparently. Hard to tell if Cara is someone else under the mask. You know, the guy who plays Sin Cara was suspended for failing the wellness policy test. So there's rumors now that Sin Cara is not actually suspended. The guy who plays Sin Cara is suspended, and now someone else is going to mimic him until the other guy is his suspension's up. A lot of people say it's hard to tell if it's somebody else. Alberto Del Rio beat Daniel Bryan by submission, and apparently it was a really great match. Cheers for Del Rio and Rodriguez. It was a big heel crowd in Sacramento. Wade Barrett came out and attacked Bryan after the match. And yes, we do have a title change. Again, this is the spoilers, and I already warned you that these are spoilers. So if you hear this and you didn't want to, it's your own fault because I warned you. But Cody Rhodes is your new Intercontinental Champion. He defeated Ezekiel Jackson, which was inevitable. Cody Rhodes deserved it. His character has been tremendous with the whole bag over his head and the scarred for life and all that kind of stuff. And then Mark Henry beat Johnny Curtis. Johnny Curtis, of course, was one of the former OVW guys, wrestled in Tampa. He was a guy in, I believe he was on Tough Enough way back. Sheamus came out after the match, confronted Henry. And then Randy Orton beat the Great Khali. He actually RKO'd Khali. I'm surprised Khali took it. Then Christian came out, taunted Orton after the match, saying he's the best thing going, and blah, blah, blah. So there is your SmackDown spoilers for this coming Friday, tomorrow night. Well, if you're listening to the premiere, it's tomorrow night. If you're listening to any of the re-airs, the show's probably already aired. Okay. It's been less than 10 minutes. I guess it's been about 5 minutes. But you can listen again. I'm not doing the spoilers anymore. But there is a title change on this week's SmackDown. So, let us give you the official card as of now for SummerSlam, which again will occur this Sunday at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Third consecutive year that SummerSlam will be in L.A. The last time it was not in L.A. was in 2008 when it was at the Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. SummerSlam has been at many venues throughout history. Again, it's now been in L.A. It'll be 3 years in a row, but to kind of go through the lineage, it started back in 1988 at Madison Square Garden. It was also at the Garden in 1991 and 1998. 1989, it was at the Brendan Byrne Arena at the time in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the former Continental Airlines Arena, now the Izod Center. It was also there in both 1997 and 2007. In 1990, it was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. 1992, of course, the big one at Wembley Stadium in London. 1993, the Palace of Auburn Hills in Auburn Hills, Michigan, in suburban Detroit. 1994, at the United Center in Chicago. 1995, at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, the old Igloo in Pittsburgh. 1996, the Gund Arena in Cleveland. 1999, the Target Center in Minneapolis. 2000 at the Entertainment and Sports Complex in Raleigh, North Carolina. 2001, the Compaq Center in San Jose. 2002, at Nassau Coliseum in Uniondale. 2003, at the America West Arena in Phoenix. 2004, Air Canada Center in Toronto. 2005, the MCI Center in Washington, D.C. 2006, at the TD Bank North Garden in Boston. So SummerSlam has been around. It's been in three countries. And this year it is, again, at the Staples Center for the third year in a row. The match is slated for now. As mentioned, the World Heavyweight Championship, Christian, will defend against Randy Orton in a no-holds-barred match. I believe this is the fourth straight pay-per-view that these two are wrestling for the title. Two of them had Orton as champion, three of them, actually, and this one, of course, Christian. And I just think they have great chemistry together. Why? Because for the first time in a while, Randy Orton is facing somebody who actually has similar body size to him and shape and can counter his moves and look good in the ring together. So I like this. I've liked this combination of guys all the way back to when they got together in April. So I think this match on Sunday will be good as well. The next match at SummerSlam, of course, is the big one, the title versus title, WWE Champion John Cena, WWE Champion CM Punk, Triple H, the COO, is your special guest referee. I like Punk in this match. I think it'll enhance Cena's character more than even Punk's. I think it'll be a good match. Their match at Money in the Bank was almost 40 minutes. I think it was like 33 minutes. And I think it's going to be that long this Sunday as well. I think it'll be a good match. I think Punk's going to retain or win it. I think it keeps it up. Another title match slated for Sunday at SummerSlam, as mentioned. The Divas champion, Kelly Kelly, defends against Beth Phoenix. I think it's safe to say that we think Beth Phoenix is going to beat the snot out of her. I think most of us want to see it happen. And I have nothing against Kelly Kelly, but... when my compadre and enforcer Johnny Reckless returns, he will continue to beat the drum that the Divas division is a joke. Well, I think they're trying to really push Beth Phoenix and Natalya again to make sure that that it is not a joke. Will it be a good match? It's a Divas match. How good could it be, really? You know, but I think Beth Phoenix wins. I don't think Kelly Kelly keeps it. And of course, the Divas division would have looked a lot different if Karma had stayed. Now, for those that don't remember, Karma was Awesome Kong in TNA. And then she left, came to WWE as Karma, and was about to just go on an absolute tear, and then she got pregnant and had to sell an injury and be out for, obviously, 9 months, or probably longer. I think that'll be be a women's match. The other match that I mentioned is Sheamus taking on Mark Henry. And Sheamus obviously is starting to turn face, which is good. He's due for it now. He's been a heel now for, almost 3 years, 2.5 years. So I think now is the time to really turn him, and the crowd's starting to get behind him. So Sheamus will face Mark Henry at SummerSlam also. So those are technically the only four matches that are scheduled. Those are the only four matches that are scheduled for SummerSlam on Sunday. I think some more will officially be scheduled after this Friday's, after SmackDown actually airs. I think Daniel Bryan will face Wade Barrett, and I think there'll be one or two more matches as well. But the focus, I think, is on the two title matches, Punk Cena and Orton Christian. I think that'll eat up at least over an hour of time on the show. So I'll be back next week on the main event to give you the recap, what happened, and my thoughts on it, and looking ahead to the next pay-per-view after that, which was Night of Champions, which will be on Sunday night, September 18th. I have no idea where that show is. I think it's in Buffalo, but I don't know exactly. I don't want to confirm that. Anyway, let's move on now to some news and notes from around wrestling. And then we're going to go over a DVD that'll be coming out soon. Actually, two of them. But one of them, we have a guaranteed playlist already. So we'll talk about that. News note number one. Daniel Bryan recently spoke with Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com, which is also a very good show. Bryan noted that he doesn't know if he will be in action at Sunday's SummerSlam. He already said he's cashing in his briefcase at WrestleMania 28. We'll see if he's able to hold to that. But Bryan, I have a feeling, will face Wade Barrett at SummerSlam. People at a recent New Japan Pro Wrestling show were openly talking about former WWE star David Hart Smith returning to work there. Of course, DH was released last week. Vladimir Kozlov, likely because of his size and experience in combat sports, was also mentioned. He was also released last week. WWE is looking at bringing back several names from the past over the next year as a way to bring back some of their fans who stopped watching the product. No returns have been confirmed, but the usual speculation is names like Mick Foley, Chris Jericho, and Batista. Batista was one of my favorites. I was kind of bummed when he left. Word is that some familiar mid-card names from the past may be brought back also. I think Jericho... Mick coming back is going to be a foregone conclusion. I don't think there's any doubt that Mick is going to come back. I don't think there's any doubt. Batista, I don't know. Batista's lost a lot of his mass. He's not as big as he used to be. I know he was trying to get into MMA, so I know he lost some weight. Mick Foley obviously will be back when his contract's up. And I think Jericho will come back eventually, too. Those close to the situation note, here's another news note, Samoa Joe has been talking seriously about looking at joining WWE when his contract expires in several months. I would love, love to see Samoa Joe in WWE. Now, for those that don't know this, Samoa Joe was discussed back in 2006 of coming in as Umaga. Of course, we're glad he didn't, because he's better than a role like that. God rest his soul, the guy who played Umaga has since passed away, but definitely not a role I would have done for definitely not a role that I would have done for Samoa Joe. He deserves his own spot, his own role, and working with Punk will be good for that. Good little shoot faction. That'd be fun. Look forward to that. By the way, Brooke Hogan is posing nude for PETA. I don't know what the heck's wrong with her father. Running TNA into the ground, that's what he's doing. More news and notes. WWE Hall of Famer Roddy Piper will tape his first episode as host of World of Hurt in Calgary on August 18th. This is the same reality show that Lance Storm was involved with for their first season. Piper's replacing Storm as the host of the second season. World of Hurt currently only airs in Canada. Regarding the WWE releases from last week, and I mentioned a couple of them earlier, Vladimir Kozlov and D.H. Smith, also Melina, and who's the other one that got released? D.H. Smith, Melina, Vladimir Kozlov, there's one other, I can't remember who it is. All those cut will be paid by WWE up until early November, and until then will be under a non-compete clause. They'll be allowed to make certain appearances, but they can't work with TNA until at least then, because they're technically still getting paid. But once they're done getting paid, they're free reign to do what they want. Next note, provided his movie commitments don't get in the way, WWE is going with the idea that The Rock will make an appearance at next year's big three shows. The Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and of course, WrestleMania to wrestle John Cena. Rock is also scheduled for a Survivor Series appearance this year, and officials are hoping they can squeeze more appearances out of him. Don't forget, Survivor Series this year is at Madison Square Garden, and it is the 15th anniversary of The Rock's first pay-per-view appearance at the 1996 Survivor Series when he was Rocky Maivia. At Madison Square Garden. So I have a feeling you will see John Cena. You will see The Rock and Cena, of course. But you will see The Rock in November at Survivor Series. And again, that is in Madison Square Garden. If he's scheduled to face Cena at WrestleMania, I don't think there's any question you're going to see him on the big shows. You kind of have to. He's got to keep going. Can't stay on camera, keep the feud hot, etc. Recent attendance figures. I don't know if this is great or not great. Raw on August 5th in Salt Lake City drew 4,500 fans. These are house shows. Raw August 6th in Fresno, 4,800. SmackDown in Boise, Idaho, 2,300, which is probably good for Boise. And the WWE Super Show, which was this past Sunday in Stockton, drew 3,700. Those numbers are awful. 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 The idea of Steve Austin having a role at WrestleMania 28 has been discussed a lot within WWE. He's always at something at WrestleMania because it always spikes the fan base. My former Winning Point co-host, Dr. G, is, of course, the biggest Steve Austin fan you could think of. And they think of guys like him who don't watch anymore because Steve's not on. That's why they think of putting him on WrestleMania every year. But those close to the situation say that the odds are against anything big happening, such as Austin wrestling a match. Obviously, because he's still worrying about his he's still worrying about his neck injury. So those are some news and notes. Now we're gonna go. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go to my trusty website, another site that I value a lot. And if you're a big wrestling fan and also a big DVD collector, great site, WWEDVDnews.com. They also have a Facebook page. You can follow them on Twitter. I do. And they give you a lot of news and notes on stuff that's coming out. Two DVDs are coming out in the fall that are going to be big deals. One of them, which we're going to talk about in a minute, involves a new DVD series that they're going to start, and we'll get to that in a minute. The other big DVD that's slated to come out on November 29th is called simply Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's apparently supposed to be the final know-all to end-all DVD story of one of the greatest of all time. Now, Steve Austin had said on his Twitter page that the DVD set was almost going to be 4 or 5 discs. It's not. It's going to be 3. I don't think they'll ever do a set over 3 discs unless they absolutely had to. And that doesn't count the DVD compilation sets, you know, the SummerSlam cooler and the WrestleMania digipacks and that kind of stuff. That's different. We're talking about compilations. And it's coming out on November 29th. And it's supposed to be the know-all, end-all. Long interviews with Steve at his ranch in Texas. They interviewed other guys. He is the producer. He is picking everything in terms of matches. There are actually going to be his three WrestleMania, I believe it is his 3 WrestleMania championship wins. WrestleMania 14 against Shawn Michaels. WrestleMania 15 and 17 against The Rock. All 3 of those matches are going to be... are all going to be have new commentary with JR. And I think that's the best. That's the hook. I mean, I have those. If you're a DVD collector like I am, you have those matches on like 6 discs. So. And surprisingly, obviously, Stone Cold still has the juice within the WWE universe. In WWE's recent intent to purchase survey of potential WWE DVD buyers, the home video project on Stone Cold was ranked highest at 73%. The fan response to that of a future Steve Austin DVD was greater than that of every other concept listed, including high-profile subjects on The Rock, Triple H, Randy Orton, and even Brock Lesnar. As you probably know by now, WWE will be releasing it later this year, and I said the date, November 29th. The overwhelming survey response to the Austin project offers some further insight into why WWE changed the schedule and opted to release a DVD solely on him. WWE's last Stone Cold DVD sold over 164,000 units in the first 26 weeks of release, while Austin's last 3 movie DVD releases sold a combined 400,000. Booker T also said on his Twitter page on another DVD note that he is going on Twitter that they're going ahead with a King of the Ring themed DVD. Of course, he is a former King of the Ring. They did the tournaments on paper. Well, of course, they did the tournaments dating back to, I think, 1985. Those were house shows. And then they decided to do, obviously, pay-per-views from 1993 to 2002. Then they got rid of them, and then they came back and did some for SmackDown and Raw. So there you go. So that's the one DVD that's coming out with a lot of anticipation, and that is that November 29th Steve Austin DVD. The other one that's coming out, and we have the full list here, WWE is going to start a new series called WWE's Greatest Rivalries. And they're going to do a series of DVDs based on 2 legendary guys. The original one they were going to do first was Steve Austin versus The Rock. But with the Steve Austin DVD already coming out in November, they're not going to do 2 Steve Austin things. So they decided to do this one instead, and I think a lot of people are really pumped up about it. And that is Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Obviously, it's the rivalry of all rivalries for many reasons. It's scheduled as of now to hit stores on October 25th. So here's the list. Disc one are interview pieces. San Antonio versus Calgary. The Rockers versus the Hart Foundation. Heartbreak Kid versus the Hitman. Intercontinental Champion versus WWE Champion. Showstopper versus Excellence of Execution. Progressive versus Traditional. Fantasy versus Reality. Respect versus Trust. Redemption versus Reconciliation. And Hope versus Peace. Those are the chapters. Now, I got to see them cut this interview firsthand because WWE does some work with my company, and I got to see them shoot the interview pieces. I would buy this DVD the day it comes out, trust me. Now, disc two and three have matches. And here they are. Disc two, The Rockers versus the Hart Foundation from Madison Square Garden, November 25th, 1989. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from Wrestling Challenge, February 10th, 1990. The Rockers versus the Hart Foundation from the Tokyo Dome, March 30th, 1991. Ladder match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from Portland, Maine, July 21st, 1992. Intercontinental Championship match. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, Syracuse, New York, April 29th, 1992. WWE Championship match. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, Survivor Series, November 25th, 1992. Steel cage match. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, Utica, New York, December 1st, 1993. That's a pretty damn good disc. All matches that I don't think I've ever... Well, other than the Survivor Series match, I don't think any matches I've ever seen. Disc 3 kind of annoys me for one reason, but they had to put it on here. And that's, of course, the Iron Man match for the WWE Championship. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 12, March 31st, 1996. They had to put it on there. Problem is it eats up like two-thirds of the disc space. After that, you get their two induction ceremonies. Bret Hart's from the Hall of Fame in 2006, and of course Shawn Michaels from this past March, April. And then, of course, the return to Raw. Bret Hart hosts Raw January 4th, 2010, and that's, of course, when they reconcile. Now, there's a match on there that is missing, isn't it? What match is missing? Of course we know what match is missing, the Montreal Screwjob. Well, you do get that one if you buy the Blu-ray. If you buy the two-disc Blu-ray of this set, you get that and a couple of more interview promo pieces. So, there you go. So there's a lot of extras. This is might be the first one where you're almost tempted to want to get the Blu-ray. We'll see. I'm not going to get it. I don't have a Blu-ray player. I have an Xbox 360. I don't have a PS3. In any event, that's the Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, the first of the greatest rivalries series, and that comes out on October 25th, and the big Steve Austin DVD comes out on November 29th. Well, we're just about wrapping it up for the first of the rebirth of the main event here on The Point, GetThePointRadio.com. I am Scott Steele. I hope you enjoyed the show. A little tighter, got to, a little audio action in there. Got to play some clips from Raw. That'll be a regular thing on the show. Of course, all audio clips courtesy of WWE, have to make that point. We're going to stick with, of course, new wrestling news on this show, and stuff going on current product. But if you want to listen to some old-school wrestling reviews and discussion, check out a great podcast called The Place to Be Podcast. Go to placetobe at podbean.com or go to facebook.com and type in under search Place to Be Podcast. And they've got a great, it's a great podcast, and it talks about classic wrestling, vintage vaults. That's where the vintage vaults moved. But you'll enjoy it, trust me. They're long. We can't put them on the air here because they go on way too long. And we don't want to eat up all the fun music shows and other great stuff we have here on The Point. So anyway, that'll wrap up this week's edition of The Main Event. I am Scott Steele. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back next week. We'll recap SummerSlam and Raw the night after and see where things are going from there. Also some more wrestling news and notes and see if there's any more DVD news, any further news on the that, oh my God, the 50 greatest moments in WWE history also is coming out soon as well. I think it's coming out in a couple weeks. We'll talk about that one as well. With that, I think I'm going to play my guy's theme song again because it's pretty damn cool. I was going to play Triple H's, but I think I'll wait until next week and see what the scoop is. In any event, Enjoy. This is Scott Steele. You've been in the main event. Have a great week. Enjoy SummerSlam.
The main event on The Point.